Miss Rachel Ong.
Mr. Speaker, my response will address the questions raised by members on the central kitchen meal model and other school canteen matters. May I have Mr. Speaker's permission to answer oral questions number 14 to 20 and written questions 45, 46 and 54 on today's order paper?
Please go ahead.
My response will also cover related oral and written questions filed for subsequent sittings from Ms. Li Huiying, Ms. Joan Pereira, Ms. Alyssa Chen and Ms. Haslina Abdul Halim. As parents and members of this House, we all understand how important school meals are for our children's growth and well-being. The Ministry of Education is fully committed to ensuring that every student has access to affordable, nutritious, and balanced meals. For decades, we have relied on individual stallholders running our canteen stalls. The familiar model many of us grew up with, where we fondly remember our favourite uncle or auntie serving our go-to dishes. We always looked forward to recess and lunch. Now today, 95% of our schools continue with this trusted approach, and stallholders have been doing an excellent job providing affordable and healthy meals to our students. However, we do face a real challenge. An increasing number of schools are struggling to fill their vacant canteen stalls, leaving students, especially those with dietary needs, very limited options. In some cases, these students may have to eat the same dish for weeks, and as parents, all of us would want our children to have a better experience. Mr. Louis Chua, Ms. Rachel Ong, Ms. Li Huiying, and Mr. Fu Zexiang asked whether additional measures would be provided to sustain individual stallholders. Now, let me first assure all members that MOE provides substantial support to help our stallholders succeed, because we believe that their food and their presence can add to the positive school experience for our students. Stallholders pay very low rentals of between $5 and $15 per month, and we waive these during school holidays when there are no customers. We also seek preferential electricity tariffs through demand aggregation, and we pass these savings directly to stallholders. We regularly review our food pricing guidelines to ensure that stallholder operations can remain viable while keeping the meals affordable for our students and their families. But the challenges go deeper than just costs. School canteens have a small customer base and limited business hours due to the school schedules. Elderly stallholders may also start to have regular medical appointments and may not be able to operate their stalls daily. This is a complex issue with no easy solutions, but we will continue to explore new ways and different ways to support our stallholders. Mr. Louis Chua asked about the number of schools that MOE expects to adopt the Central Kitchen Meal Model by 2030. We did not start the Central Kitchen Meal Model so as to replace the traditional canteen model. We wanted to explore alternative models to help our schools that were struggling to attract stallholders and had severe shortages of functioning stalls. We want to avoid putting students in these schools at risk of not having good access to affordable, nutritious and balanced meals. So we started with a pilot at Yusof Ishak Secondary School, which relocated from Bukit Batok to Punggol and did not have existing stallholders at the Punggol site. After seeing positive results, we decided to try out a range of central kitchen meal models in 13 additional schools that face challenges in securing sufficient stallholders. This allows students in these schools to continue to have access to healthy and affordable food options. We will explore the central kitchen model only with schools with such difficulties. We have no intention to scale this to all schools, nor do we have a target in mind. Ms. Joan Pereira and Ms. Alyssa Chen asked about our openness to other models. we are indeed taking an open and flexible approach, and hence we are trying out a range of possible models. Some schools are using hybrid models where operators both deliver pre-ordered meals as well as prepare fresh food on site. In several schools, students can still choose and watch their meals being prepared at live cooking stations alongside having the pre-ordered options. We will continue to look at different options that best serve our students' needs and refine the model based on feedback. We do see some positive outcomes in our schools. Students spend less time queuing for food during recess and have more time for play and interaction with one another. Parents have also shared that they now know what their children eat in school and can better support their children in achieving a balanced diet. Our teachers also now have access to a wider range of meal options in school. We appreciate the concern that many members have shown towards the stallholders affected by the transition in schools that are trying out the new models. I want to assure members that our schools have been actively supporting the stallholders throughout this process. Several of them have joined our three operators and now enjoy more stable income. Others have found placements at different schools, pursued new opportunities, or chosen to retire. MOE continues to welcome applications from anyone interested in operating school canteen stalls, including private entities for schools with persistent vacancies. All available opportunities are listed on our website. Several members asked about food safety measures and the applicable good hygiene standard. Food prepared by central kitchens is not inherently unsafe or less safe. Central kitchens are licensed by the Singapore Food Agency, and they are subjected to more frequent inspections, as explained by SBS Gohan Yen, and they have a larger scale of food processing or preparation. In addition, central kitchens are graded under the SAFE framework, and in the event of a major food lapse, they will be downgraded and inspected even more frequently. MOE will continue to work with SFA, the Communicable Diseases Agency, and the operators to strengthen food safety management systems. This covers everything from preparation at the central kitchens to transportation, storage, and eventually when the food is served to the students. Ms. Lee Huiying asked for data on gastroenteritis cases from January 2022 to December 2025. The number of gastroenteritis incidents in schools have averaged 6 cases a year in the past 3 years across all food service models. Many members also asked about the recent suspected gastroenteritis incidents in River Valley Primary School and Northview Primary School. SFA, CDA, and MOE are still investigating the causes for both incidents. River Valley Primary School currently uses one of our central kitchen meal model operators, while Northview Primary School has traditional stallholders. Both schools immediately stepped up the cleaning and sanitization of their canteens and premises. Students were also reminded about good personal hygiene and to rest at home if they are unwell. And throughout both incidents, the schools maintained close, regular communication with parents and caregivers and continue to work with SFA and CDA to monitor any developments. At both schools, all affected students have returned to school. While the investigations continue, we have reinforced with the CKMM operator at River Valley Primary School, also with the stallholders at Northview Primary School, the critical importance of maintaining the highest food safety standards and full compliance with SFA requirements. This includes kitchen cleanliness and safe food handling practices. Ms. Eileen Chong and Mr. Fadli Fauzi asked about our protocols for suspension, termination, and contingency measures. Where food safety breaches are detected, whether at central kitchens or individual stalls, SFA takes immediate enforcement action and requires rectifications. Operations may be suspended or terminated for severe food safety breaches or ongoing disease transmission, with other punitive actions considered based on the findings. For schools using our CKMM operators, MOE has established contingency protocols to ensure that students will continue to have access to school meals. These include activation of alternative central kitchens while implementing more permanent solutions. We have also taken a cautious approach by limiting each operator to serving just 4 or 5 schools. This helps to contain the impact of any operational issues and also allows us to observe different operators' performance and have backup options if needed.
And Wenslow, if I could just interrupt you for a moment. I believe leader wishes to move a motion.
Mr. Speaker, as we have gone past the usual time for PQs, but at the same time, this is a topic of some public interest, I wish to seek your consent and the general assent of members present to move that the question time at this day's sitting be exempted from the provisions of Order No. 22-1 so as to enable question for oral answer to continue until the completion of question number 20, including relevant supplementary questions thereon.
I give my consent. Does the leader have the general assent of honourable members present to so move?
Aye.
Leader, please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I move that notwithstanding Order No. 22-1, question time at this day's sitting continue until the completion of question number 20, including relevant supplementary questions thereon.
The question is, as moved by the Leader of the House, those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Wenslow, you may continue.
So while the central kitchen meal model operators have had some initial pre-ordering problems in the first few weeks, the situation has stabilized. We will continue to monitor the performance of the operators closely and also actively take in feedback from students, parents, and teachers. I want to end by thanking all members for the concern for our students and for the stallholders, and for the many good suggestions that have come in. We are committed to providing every student access to affordable and healthy meal options in our schools. We will continue to listen, to learn, and to adapt, to serve and support our children better.
Miss Henniso, sorry. You're a bit partially blocked.
Thank you, Speaker. It's rather unfortunate that we have experienced two incidents at a very early stage of the school reopening, where many of our little ones, especially the primary one students, have just entered schools, and the incidents actually happened in primary schools in this instance. And I believe this has invariably caused some anxieties for parents, especially those that their children have just entered primary schools for the very first time. In this regards, can I ask the Ministry, how has MOE worked with the schools to communicate updates to the parents? And what has been the feedback received thus far in relation to the handling of these issues on the ground in the schools? The second PQ is whether following from this incident, are we also ramping up in terms of our efforts in raising more awareness and encouraging our students to embrace a better and practice a better good personal hygiene. Thank you.
Emma Islaw.
I thank the member for her questions. First, when suspected incidents do happen, the schools monitor the well-being of the students very closely through daily checks on attendance, or when students exhibit or report symptoms. They then check with students who are absent from class to make sure that the students are okay, or to check in if there's a pattern of the cases emerging. Both cases are still under investigation, so we're not able to say for certainty if the incidents resulted from the operator's management of the food or from the stallholder's management of the food. But indeed, in both cases, the schools have reminded the students about good personal hygiene and have communicated throughout the incidents with parents to assure them that sanitation and cleaning has been done throughout the school premises. We definitely hope to do more education about food safety, but also about central kitchen meal model in general to Singapore. Again, because this is really to ensure that all students have access to good and affordable options. Thank you.
There are still many members who wish to ask. While we have extended question time, my request is to members as well as MOS Lau to keep the questions and the answers succinct. Associate Professor James Lim.
So I acknowledge MOS Lau's response about how there's no inherent difference between the safety of central kitchen versus on-site preparation. But my supplementary question has to do with the quality of meals, specifically along the dimension of variety. Now, as a parent of a very picky six-year-old eater, I'm sympathetic to arguments that the central kitchen model may serve. I'm sympathetic to arguments that the kind of food that the central kitchen may serve up on any given day may simply be just forgone by such students. Now, setting aside how we really need to expand our daughter's palate, is the minister concerned that the central kitchen model may inadvertently give rise to nutritional deficiencies among a certain segment of this student population?
MOS Lau.
I thank the member for his question. Our central kitchen meal model operators currently have between 6 to 14 options a day, and the menu does change on a weekly basis. The meals are also checked by MOE to ensure nutritional sufficiency. And in fact, many parents of students who are in the schools with CKMM models now do say that now they know what their kids are eating in school, and they are able to view the meal options as well as the nutritional value of the meals through the apps where they do the pre-ordering.
Mr. Fu Zhexiang.
Thank you, Speaker. Speaker, I thank MOS for her really empathetic response, and I in particular appreciate the support that MOE has given our individual stallholders. My supplementary question is really my main question, which is, is the Ministry for Education, has it considered paying individual hawkers to set up stalls in the canteen? And I ask that for the same reason that MOS raised in the speech. Because if our objective is affordable, nutritious and balanced meals, I can understand that where you don't have individual food stallers who want to do so, you turn to the central kitchen. But if our objective on top of that is the positive school experience, where the canteen and school is a microcosm of society, of the hawker centres and the public spaces, then where there is a dearth of individual stallholders, would it not be then time for the government to consider paying people to provide this experience for our students? Thank you.
MOS Lau.
Member for his question. First, in the central kitchen model, in many of the operations now, there is still a live stall where students can interact with stallholders and humans as they decide what kind of food they want to buy. But we're not close to the idea of any model at all out there that could give our students access to good, affordable and healthy food. We are not close to any model.
Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
Thank you, Speaker. I have two SQs. Firstly, if there are other further cases of gastroenteritis in schools using the central kitchen meal model, will the government consider returning to the traditional canteen model or any other catering model for schools, such as the on-site central kitchens located within the school itself? Second, MOS mentioned that challenges for traditional kitchens go beyond cost. How will the government make the traditional kitchen canteen model more attractive for vendors? Thank you.
MOS Law.
I thank the member for his question. I think first I need to reiterate that the investigation is still underway, so we should not assume that the central kitchen meal model was the reason for the gastroenteritis cases. But indeed, if there is, if the results do show, I think we would definitely have to take a look to ensure that central kitchen models do not undermine the safety of the food that we give to our students. Now, I mentioned in my reply earlier that we will look at all types of ways to support our stallholders better. And as Mr. Fu Zhexiang had asked, we are open to all possible models, including paying the stallholders, if need be, to again ensure that our students have good access to healthy and affordable food.
Mr. Kenneth Tiong.
Thank you, Speaker. Two SQs. Firstly, since 2005, Japan has employed diet and nutrition teachers, professionals who hold both a nutritionist qualification and teaching license in schools to create menus, oversee food safety, and teach nutrition in the classroom. Now, will the government consider making similar nutrition and safety roles accredited professionals? That's my first question. Second SQ, I quote the Straits Times on their reporting on the River Valley Primary School, quote, some parents told ST that their children had noticed the chicken on the pizza tasting a bit strange. A few parents said their children were fine after consuming the pizza as they had picked the chicken off. A pupil told his mother that the chicken did not smell good, but he ate it anyway and had diarrhea the next day, end quote. So can I just ask, what is the status of the investigation into the chicken? And if it was a chicken, how did it make it past the food hygiene officer?
MOS Law.
On dietary teachers, I think that was the term you used, and food safety officers, in Singapore, we do work closely with the Health Promotion Board to ensure that the food that we provide to all our students from preschool to primary school to secondary schools have good nutritional value and meet the needs of our students. We also have food hygiene officers in our schools with the CKMM models, and they do check, make checks on the way that the food is handled to make sure that the food is safe. On the second question, I would suggest that the member wait for the investigation results before talking more about the River Valley case. Thank you.